Welcome to episode 234 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In last week's show, I began talking you through the various items of kit I was selecting ahead of an overnight trip on the South Downs. As you'll remember, this was for a magazine walking feature. Well, as promised, in this week's episode, we pick up where we left off, and you join me as I conclude my thoughts. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 234. So let's talk about the sleeping arrangement. I've already alluded to the fact that I am going to be using a tent. Now, bear with me one second. Just going to have a sip of tea. Okay. Let's put that down there. Okay, so on this occasion, I am using the Van Gogh Force 10 Nitrolite 200. A lot of you will have heard me talking about this. Long story short, I'd planned to do much more camping last year, the beginning of this year. I am not going to elaborate on it, but let's just say other stuff got in the way, which meant that I was not able to commit to doing that, which is a real shame. But that is going to be used. It's I can't remember what the weight is, but it's fairly compact. That's good. Not as compact as a tarp would be. Do you know, I'm so tempted just to take a tarp and a bivy. I don't care about the rain. That's not an issue because I can pitch it well enough. The tent is more it's more obvious, of course, to the eye and what have you, but the wild camping rule of thumb is you pitch late, you rise early, you leave no trace. Where possible, seek permission. I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of wild camping and whether people think it's legal or not and all the usual things. Again, that's a conversation for another time, and I'll happily have that with you if you so wish. It is always my intention. I've talked about this in the past. I don't mind the pitch late, rise early, kind of under the cover of darkness. No one knows that you've been there, and that's fine because you know that everything's above board. You're not there to cause trouble, make a mess, or do anything you shouldn't. But I like to build connections. I like to get involved with the rural community, the what's going on. Now, going back some time now, do you remember, and I will link to this in the show notes because I cannot remember the episode number. Regular listeners will remember this. I was location scouting for a place to do an overnighter where I wanted to pitch a tent, this tent actually, in order to get some shots. I think it was it was due to be, you know, heavy frost or something, so it's a really good opportunity to get those really crisp, nice shots. And the day was going fine, and just at the very end, I came up against a bit of resistance from a farmer or landowner who, for whatever reason, I would imagine had negative experiences previously, and people have done things that they should. I have no grounds for this. I can only guess that maybe he had travellers set up on his land, and he assumes that even though I was able to show him examples of my work, tell him what I'm doing, give him my business card, all that, he still accused me of being a traveller, which in his mind was a very negative thing. And you know, it was a word of warning, if you remember that recording. Like I say, I will link to that in the show notes. Quite interesting, but you know, just be warned. So it is my intention to, there are a number of places which are potential places to pitch up for the night, that are within the vicinity of farms. And so what I want to do is approach the people at the farms and say, look, I'm doing this. All I'm doing is a 10 or thereabouts, 10 mile round route for this magazine. I'm not going to be telling people that they should be camping. I'm not telling people that they should just pitch up on farmland or anything like that. For what it's worth, actually, the reason I am doing an overnighter is partly, obviously, with the test review stuff, but partly because, due to a number of factors, that the time that I'm having to set off on this walk and knowing the pace that I will be walking, which will probably be around about 3 to 4 miles per hour, that combined with the fact that it's still sort of getting dark, sort of 5 o'clock or on a rainy day, it's not even that. I mean, we've had it getting dark still as early as 3. I need to be able to get the pictures that look nice for the route that I'm describing, and with all things considered, I won't be able to get it done in one day. 10 miles in a day is fine if you can get up early, if you've got a good amount of light in the day, and all that sort of thing. So I'm actually going with a friend, and there's a good chance that he will feature on the podcast or maybe in the video. Haven't spoken to him apart from through Facebook. Haven't spoken to him in person for a while, so that'll be nice to have a catch up. He's a photography enthusiast as well, so that'll be nice. Get a bit of feedback as well, and just shoot the breeze a little bit. Okay, so the tent is the Nitrolite 200. I've got a ground, not ground mat, like a sheet that goes under. It's actually the footprint to an old North Face tent that I've got. I don't tend to use it a lot, only on certain occasions where I don't mind it getting really dusty, and if someone really did want to damage it because it's in a place like at events and stuff, it's so old that although I've looked after it and don't want it damaged, it's getting old now. It's got a number of holes in the fly sheets just through age. So that, but that comes from there. So it's the same one that I use actually when I use a tarp, or I put it underneath my hammock when I'm hammock camping. I've got a pee bottle because frankly I gather it's meant to be getting down to about 8 degrees, so not too cold, but if I'm all nice and snug, I don't want to be getting up and going out onto the hill to have a wee in the night. I will gladly just go into the porch of the tent, and it is quite a generous sized porch on the Nitrolite. But the thing I'm really looking forward to, it well, two things actually. One, a lot of you will know Therm-a-Rest as a brand. I have used Therm-a-Rest for a long time for sleeping mats. I've still got one. I must put a picture on Instagram somewhere. I've got my very first sleeping mat, which was a full length Therm-a-Rest, and wow, it was so big, like when it was rolled up, and how things have moved on. I mean, we are talking, what, 15 years maybe? A bit more. If you know your Therm-a-Rest, it was the ones that were red on one side and green on the other, so it was red on the top and green on underneath. But that was kind of like it. That was kind of what was available for decent mats. Anyway, I've been sent actually two to try. One is the NeoAir All Season, which is the previous model, which it comes with a pump, which within 3 minutes, it takes, I think, two or three AAA batteries. In 3 minutes, it will pump it up for you, which is quite handy. I would imagine you can blow it up yourself with your mouth. But I've chosen, and the reason I've got both is that I suggested doing a comparison, and I'll be doing some video stuff for this, not on this occasion, but doing a sort of a comparison as well. I've also got the All Season SV, which is new for this year. SV relates to speed valve, and I don't know the absolute ins and outs, but basically, you breathe into it, and it sort of captures as as you blow in, it captures the air, so it draws in more air, so it makes it quicker to inflate. And these are both Four Season mattresses. My personal choice is, because I'm not trying to keep everything super light, I've got enough weight to carry anyway. It's not super heavy. And to give you an idea, let's see, it weighs, I think it's about 650 grams. So it's not the lightest. Its R value is 4.9, for those interested. It's small enough when it's packed down, but I would rather carry a little bit more weight in order to have the extra insulation to begin with between me and the ground, especially in winter, or not just in winter, just when it's, you know, colder nights. You know, I camp all through the year, and sometimes even in, say, July, you can get a pretty chilly night that can take you by surprise. So my setup is, I've told you about the tent, my sleeping mats. Now, the other thing that I am trying for the first time, those of you who follow my activities will know that last year when I went to the outdoor trade show, I got talking to a company called Hill Venture, I think it was, excuse me. I'm just trying to find, if I sound a little bit distracted, I'm just trying to find a particular picture on my Instagram so that I can, let's see, so many pictures, just trying to find them. I know I shared it. Talk amongst yourselves. where is it then? I know I shared it, but would you believe it? I can't actually find the picture. Oh, there we go. It's always the way, isn't it? Okay, so Hill Venture. Yeah, so they, I was looking for the name of the sleeping bag. Just going to grab another picture here. It's a down bag. Very lightweight, nice and compact. It's the Agate 400. Now that's spelled A-G-A-T-E. I don't know if some of you would say Agate or Agate 400. to give you an idea, the comfort rating on this is plus 3 degrees C. The limit is minus 2 and extreme is minus 18. I won't go into all of that, but at the end of the day, it should... If it takes down to sort of minus 2, we're not expecting anything below plus 8. So that and a good mat and what I'll be sleeping in should be absolutely fine. So that's kind of the majority of everything. Obviously, there's things like food, a few snacks, water, of course. I'll probably take, I would imagine, 2... possibly 3 litres, somewhere between 2 and 3 litres. Nothing fancy. I'll probably just take a plastic bottle in one of the external pockets of my rucksack. The rucksack, incidentally, which is also, I need to do the part 2 of my review, I'll link to the part 1, initial thoughts, is a Vango Nanga 50 plus 10S, which is a really nice, comfy backpack or rucksack. Lots of space, not too big. You can sort of crunch it down a bit, but good attachment points for things like tripods, walking poles. Not taking walking poles this time. But like I say, I don't like to have lots on the outside. I certainly don't like to have sleeping mats on the outside like a lot of people do. But that's the bag I'm going to take. In terms of what I'm carrying the camera with, I think I might actually, to save space in the main bag, I don't usually do this, but I want to experiment and be like change my system a little bit. Work with pouches that are attached to the hip belt of my rucksack, so it's always there. There are clips that go onto, say, your backpack straps, the shoulder straps. Hoping to try those out in the fullness of time, but they're great when it's dry. But we are expecting rain the morning after, sort of probably for the rest of the time, showers, what have you, right up to the conclusion of the of the walk itself. So that is going to be my setup with the camera. I'm going to try that, and if all else fails, I can chuck it in the top of the bag if it really does start hacking down and I'm not happy that it's being protected. Very quickly, just on the clothing, because it's not the sexiest or most exciting topic. I have for my outers, I have my full Paramo wet weather gear, and I'll link to Paramo, of course. All this stuff will be linked in the show notes, but I still have my Velez Adventure smock. It's done so well. I recently washed it with Tech Wash and reproofed it using TX Direct, which is the recommended waterproofer, just to bring it new lease of life. That keeps on going. I think it was 2000, and I'll link in the show notes to my original review, 2011, I think, something like that. I've also got some outer trousers. Like I say, we are expecting rain. These are the, I always forget what these ones are called now. These are the my outer trousers. No, I'm not going to be able to remember now. But you know, really nice, comfy. They're not sort of really thin. They kind of have a certain warmth to them, which is really nice. Walking socks, spare pair of walking socks. I've got a merino t-shirt, which I'll probably wear underneath a basic fleece, and then my outer shell on top of that. I'm also taking, which is part of a test review at the moment, the Sub-Zero down smock. A lot of you will know if you saw the original review of their full-length zip down jacket, which was brilliant. I've been having a play with the new smock version. You will have seen that in the in Instagram and all that sort of thing. So that's going to go. It packs up really small, so that will likely stay in the top of my rucksack, so that if it does start to get cold as I'm walking, I can't imagine it will. The sun is meant to be shining, although it won't be particularly warm. That is ready to use. And then just sitting around camp in the evening, having dinner, you know, it's really snug. Those are, you can sleep in those, or if you're warm enough. I the one thing that I do get cold with in the night, if anything, is my feet. So what you can do is just wrap that, if it's a full length zip it up and pull it up over the box, foot box area of your sleeping bag. Or with this, as it's a smock, you know, just pull it over and zip it right up to the top, and that's that. Toying with the idea of taking some gaiters. It may be muddy. I can't imagine it's going to be too muddy, so I might just not bother. My walking boots I'm going to take, obviously. Oh, I forgot to mention my Jetboil stove. That's going. Other things I might take, some thin gloves, just to, not waterproof, but just you know, if my hands do get a bit cold and I'm trying to operate my camera, just to have a bit more comfort. And what else? Oh, this is the thing I'm toying with. I was sent by Manfrotto to look at a thing they call their stunt roll organizer, which is designed for GoPro kits and all that sort of thing. But I might, just to organize my stuff. I don't know whether I actually need to take that on this occasion, because the small bits and pieces that I'm going to take won't necessarily go together all in one place. I'm going to need them too regularly, so that might just be extra bulk that I don't need to take. That is pretty much it, apart from my phone with the ViewRanger app and the OS app on there. Oh, the other thing, of course, is my Power Traveler Power Monkey Extreme solar charger that is currently charging up off the mains, but that means that I've got enough power. I can charge my phone overnight, well, not even overnight, just in the evening, and we'll be good to go the next day. I don't think there's anything else I've missed. I've got some base layers just in case it gets a bit colder. I can add those on, some like long johns and a sort of a thicker like mid layer. Actually, those are, yeah, that they're I've got a mid layer like fleece lined top there, and fleece lined leggings, which are really nice and comfy at night if it gets a bit chilly. That is pretty much it. And various cables and bits and bobs, and a few carabiners just to make sure everything's attached. Food, water, I mentioned. Just having a final just sort of skirt around here. I can't think there's anything else. Oh, hats, a woolly hat, and also a low alpine mountain hat, which has ear panels, keep your ears warm, but it's also water resistant, so that's always really good to keep your head dry and ears warm when it's when you don't need a woolen hat, but it just gives you a bit of extra comfort. That is pretty much it, guys. If you have any questions about any of this, of course, do let me know. There may be something that is sort of gleamingly obvious. You wonder why I haven't mentioned it. Like I say, everything is just strewn in front of me. It's not packed away at the moment. I have a little final little notelet thing there. Just to add extra things. I've got to pick up some extra memory cards from my case and get the gas. I don't keep the gas indoors. That's in an exterior location. But that's it. That is it, I think. So, like I say, if you have any questions, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. Be sure to visit the website, where I've recently posted further thoughts about kit selection with forthcoming activities in mind. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.